1 Kings chapter 18 verses 30 through 39, and New Testament reading is Luke 1:17. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold about 24 pounds of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bowl into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. And do it again," he said, and they did it again. "And do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. And when the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And then in Luke 1:17, "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." It's the word of the Lord. Amen.
By the way, welcome back, Manny. Good to see you. I didn't mention that in the announcements. Emmanuel's back from basic training. Is that what? So in the basic training. All right. Good to have you here. So growing up, the way to beat the high cost of living was to buy things a size or two big, right? So you grow into them. Get a new pair of sneakers, you get them too big, and then you grow into them and they last a little longer. Well, when I was in high school, I went out for track and cross country, because you didn't have to be super talented, you just had to keep running. And I also got decent grades, so I had these little patches that you could sew on a letterman's jacket. And that was a thing back then, letterman's jacket. So we went out and got a letterman's jacket, and lo and behold, they didn't have any at Goodwill, so I had to buy a new one. So naturally, I got it too big, and it's still too big. 33 years later, still too big. It was a solution to a problem that was the solution was bigger than the problem. Now, I'm going to talk about the problem of estrangement and broken relationships between children and parents as part of our reconciliation theme for Lent. But the solution you're going to hear is much bigger than the problem. The solution's bigger than the problem. And I hope that you'll apply the solution to whatever situation you might be dealing with in terms of parents and children. But you'll also see the much bigger picture that we're going to be called to look at today. Dr. Carl Pillemer from Cornell University is one of the few researchers who's researched the topic of estrangement, when a parent and a child are no longer able to communicate because one said to the other, "That's it, I'm done, I'm never speaking to you again, or until further notice." And according to his research, it's something like 1 in 5 people are dealing with a painful estrangement in their lives. That's a lot. That's a lot of people. And it's a very painful experience. And today in the scripture, we have a strange family counselor, a strange therapist. Normally a therapist might wear a cardigan sweater and be in a comfortable office and be eating Uncle Ben's whole grain rice. This therapist is wearing a hairy shirt and eating bugs. John the Baptist, the prophet who ministers in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, there's a lot more scriptures that we could have read this morning. When it says in the New Testament, talking about the birth of John the Baptist, that he'll minister like Elijah, turning the hearts of the parents to the children, it refers to Micah that also says he'll turn the children's hearts to the parents as well. It's reciprocal. It's a prophecy. Now, what is the Lord doing bringing us this strange therapist? This therapist who has a one-word therapy session. Repent! Repent! That's his one word. The scripture says that John the Baptist was preparing the way in the wilderness, making the high places low and the low places high, bringing the pride down and bringing the self-pity up. And he has a one-word therapy session. Repent. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, he says. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Well, the word repent in Greek is metanoia, which means to think differently after. That's the real literal translation. It also means turn around, and there's a related word that means that more frequently, but think differently after. Well, that sounds a bit like Dr. Phil, doesn't it? If you go into a good therapist's office, it's going to take you a long time, but eventually they're going to help you to think differently. So don't think that it's too crazy that the Lord would send you this strange therapist today, and let's take a look at Elijah, who Elijah is, and what his mission is, and why that might actually be helpful to us in some of our most cherished and sensitive relationships. Okay, Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and when John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus, the Messiah, he was standing in the ministry of Elijah. The prophecy says Elijah will come before the day of the Lord, before the Messiah comes. And Elijah was present in the Old Testament as a mighty prophet. Elijah has a lot of parallels to Moses. Moses went up on the mountain where the fire of God met him and the law was given to the people of Israel. Elijah went up on the mountain, Mount Carmel. The event that we read about today happened on Mount Carmel. And the fire of God met him, and the purpose was to restore Israel to the covenant. What we didn't read today is that before this event happened, when the fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, Elijah was telling the people, how long will you waver between two decisions? Is Baal God, the storm and fertility God that the evil king Ahab was leading Israel to worship through his wife Jezebel? Is that idol God, or is the Lord the God of Jacob and the God of your ancestors, Isaac and Jacob? The God of Abraham, is that your God? How long will you waver? Are you going to worship idols? Are you going to worship the Lord? And Elijah did his ministry to bring people back to the covenant. So whatever it is that we need to reconcile parents to children and children to parents, somehow it has to do with God's faithfulness, God's promises to us, God's covenant. Now the old covenant was a covenant of law and of faithfulness to keeping the teaching of the Torah, the teaching of the law, and it depended on our works, theoretically. It was all just a shadow to lead us to Jesus. But the idea was that you could have a soft heart and be right with God if you were to keep God's commandments, and the parents would pass them on to the children, and you can see that that would create a structure to have good relationships. The children obey the parents, and the parents train the children in the ways of the Lord. That's good. But what we see through the thick Old Testament in the Bible is that it failed. The people turned to idols again and again. And what the idols offered was selfishness. This fertility God and storm God that the false prophets were leading people to worship, he led people into fulfilling their carnal lust and their greed. And it was based on fear, all these lower emotions, just like Hitler. A friend of mine tells me, I never read his memoir about how to lead millions of people into destruction, but apparently his technique is just to appeal to people's lower nature. Anger, fear, greed, the you know, lusts and jealousies and things like that. And that's what idolatry offers. My friend Tim at the chapel by the lake says you can tell that idolatry is at work in your life if there's something in your life that demands sacrifice, like an addiction that you have to hide, and it demands the sacrifice of close relationships, something that you're so selfish about that it'll demand the sacrifice of higher things. That's what idolatry does. It appeals to your lower nature. On the other hand, covenant with God is a trust in God's faithfulness. And as the old covenant in the Old Testament failed, Jesus brought a new covenant. Now remember this event from the Gospels. Jesus went up on a mountain and was transfigured. He became glowing white. And next to him were two people, Moses and Elijah. Moses, who gave the old covenant, and Elijah, who restored the people to the old covenant, and Jesus, who was the new covenant. Jesus said, "This is the new covenant given in my blood." When Christ went to the cross, he created a new covenant, a new agreement with us, that we would be reconciled to God through his death. The result of that is what we had in the call to worship. You can look at the bulletin and see, "I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." That was the purpose of the old covenant that failed. All God wanted was for you to care for widows and orphans in their distress, to not be prejudiced against those from other nations when they come and live with you, to give them justice in court, to care for the poor and needy, to have a soft heart. To have a soft heart. Now, I hope that you see that this counseling session from the bug-eating, hairy shirt therapist is starting to come together and head somewhere. It's really hard to reconcile when your heart is hard. It's really hard to make peace. And it's easy to have a hard heart. Because when pain comes, you got two choices. You can either harden your heart and feel less pain, or you can hurt. Now, I want to tell you that a hard heart can hide under velvet. If I were to put velvet over a hammer and smash a nail with it, the nail would still go into the board. And we can have a lot of sweetness and a lot of empathy and still have a hardness of heart. We can have resentment. We can have self-pity. We can have anger that lurks and waits and then comes out. Even velvet on a hammer can drive a nail in. So God is calling us to have a soft heart. And when you have a soft heart, it means you're going to hurt. Now, Jesus is the example and the pathway of reconciliation in this new covenant that he gives us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have the definition of reconciliation explained. And it's going to be the model for us about what we can do in our relationships with parents and children. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ. Now, what we have in our conversations in our culture is that we ask somebody to come to church and they say, "No, I tried that church and there's too much hypocrisy," or "They just want my money," or "Your God is full of judgment. Why would you worship a God that floods the whole world? Your God is mean. You show me a God that's more loving and maybe I'll come to church. Maybe I'll come to church if you can prove to me that God is someone that I want." But what the scripture is giving us is totally the opposite. What's keeping people from... let me put it this way. If you could convince somebody to come to church because you're like, "God is loving, church is fun, the cookies are great, the coffee's okay, you just got to get there," right? I'm like, "Okay, God loves me, it's going to be fun, I'm going to come to church." They come to church, they worship God and say, "Yes, God, I want you." And God says, "No. No, look what you have done. Look, you know what I hate? I hate it when people lie and it hurts people. I hate it when people steal from people and it's the last thing they had and they stole it from them and it hurts people. I hate it when people kill and somebody's life is ended unjustly and they never get a chance to do any of the things I had for them. I hate it. And you, every time you are angry, you participated in the same thing that was in that murderer's heart when they killed. And you, every time you lied to cover up the way you really felt, because you didn't want to have the courage to be honest, you are participating in the sin that broke that other person's heart. And I hate it. I don't care if you want to come near me. I'm mad." Doesn't do any good to come to church and seek the Lord if the Lord's mad at you, right? The Lord doesn't want to have anything to do with you. But in Christ, God reconciled the world to himself. So the door is open. We could have church all day long, but if God's heart is closed to us, there's no good. But because Jesus had a soft heart, and Jesus encountered the pain, and he was rejected, and he was condemned, and he was told that he was a liar and a false prophet, and he was beaten and ripped apart and made to walk with that heavy cross up the hill, carrying that heavy burden. Because all of the anger that God had at every sin, that you and I have participated in every kind of sin, even if we didn't do every evil thing in the world, we participated in the same kinds of thoughts and emotions and deeds in some little way. All of it reconciled through Christ. So now, at least half of the job is done. Half of the job is done. Now, if you will take up the pain of having a soft heart, the heart that comes to you in the new covenant, the spirit of Elijah comes to you and says, have a soft heart, have a heart. Get rid of your heart of stone and take up this heart of flesh. It's going to put you into a painful position. You're going to have to forgive. And if you're courageous enough and have the right boundaries, you might even act in courage and seek an actual restoration of relationship. But I want to talk to you about boundaries first. Because it would be pretty sick for me to tell you to stay in a physically abusive relationship until you die. And it'd be pretty sick for me to tell you to stay in a psychologically abusive relationship until you're hauled away to an institution. That'd be pretty sick. And I can tell you that you don't have to do that for this reason. Jesus had boundaries when he died for you. He didn't say, no, you can't have this arm. He didn't say, no, you can't have this arm. And you can't have this foot. You can't have this side. He didn't say any of that. You can have my beating heart, but there's one thing you can't have, and it's the truth. I'll never believe your lie that I'm a false prophet. I'll never believe your lie that I'm a failed Messiah. I'll never believe your lie that I'm dying because of my sin. I'm dying because of my love for you, Jesus says. He's never going to believe the lie. And you don't have to believe it either. So when you love and you soften your heart and you open yourself to forgiveness and or reconciliation, you do it with boundaries. That may mean that you can't fix the problem. There's people that aren't in church today, even though God's ready to see them. I want you to invite them, but there's people who aren't in church today, even though God is ready. Your part is to play the role of Christ. Your part is to do God's part, to make your heart ready. And it may create pain. But if you have boundaries, and if you have courage, then you can enter that pain and say, God, I'm hurt. Because what I always wanted from my father was to hear that I love you and I accept you and that you're mine. I claim you. And all I heard was condemnation. Or maybe he tried to say that, but I didn't hear it. But I'm hurt. A soft heart hurts. But a soft heart can say, God, I'm hurt, and I just want you to tell me the truth about what you think about me. And I want you to give me the grace to forgive my father so that I never have to carry this weight again. You carried the weight, Jesus, when you went up to the cross. Jesus can heal you. It takes time, but you don't get healed if your heart is hard. That's what Elijah's doing. That's our one-word therapist. When he says, repent, think differently, he says, have a heart of flesh, have a soft heart, have the courage to forgive. See that, take the velvet off your hammer and see that hardness of heart and be willing to forgive. It could be painful, but it's meant. It's a process that contains pain. You share in the suffering of Christ. It's not like the pain is the purpose. It's just part of knowing that you're in the right place, and then it can be released when you forgive. And then you're ready. See, there's two outcomes that could happen. One, you could have a changed heart, and two, you could have a changed relationship. But you cannot do what you cannot do. Even the Most High God won't act outside of his character and force this church and every church to be packed with people who are really seeking him for reconciliation. God won't act outside of his character. He's ready. His half is ready. And you can do the same thing. So the one-word therapist who says repent says very simply, to do your one part. Now there's a story I want to share with you about a songwriter, Bart Millard, and he wrote the song I Can Only Imagine. Have you heard of that song? Now, some Christian movies are pretty corny, but I went to see the movie I Can Only Imagine, and I took my son Lucas. It was pretty powerful. It was at a hard time in our lives, and father and son going to this movie together. He didn't want to go. He drug his feet. He knew it was a Christian movie. We went anyway, and it turned out to be pretty good, but it's a story of the songwriter, Bart. And he's working hard to build his music career, and meanwhile, things are bad at home. And his dad becomes more and more abusive and is so cruel to his mom, breaking her cherished items and just being cruel verbally and in his heart and condemning for no reason, that it drives his mom away. And one day his mom just pulls out of the driveway and Bart is just broken. Jordan Peterson, the famous psychologist, says that you can lose a dad, but if you lose a mom, it's just devastating. And Bart was devastated. And then his dad became more abusive and became physically abusive with he and his brother until all Bart wanted to do was leave home and never, ever speak to his dad again. And he did it until he found out his dad was dying of cancer. And then he came home to take care of his dad, but he didn't intend to soften his heart or open his heart just to take care of his dad. But he found out his dad had started coming to church. And he heard his dad praying late in the night for he and his brother. And just something strange happened. His dad became so close, his closest friend. Somehow God gave Bart a softened heart, and it hurt. But he was able to forgive his dad and had the sweetest relationship with him before he died. And then when he was standing at his father's grave with his father's mom, his grandmother turned to Bart, the songwriter, and said, "I can only imagine what he's seeing right now." And that's how the song, "I Can Only Imagine," got started. This is something that the Lord repeats again and again, but never would have happened with a hard heart. Never would have happened with a hard heart. That son never would have forgiven the father, and that father never would have forgiven himself and had the courage to try and reconcile if it wasn't for a softness of heart. So, reconciliation is your choice for your half. You'll need courage and you'll need to soften your heart. You'll need to come to the covenant that Jesus offers you in his blood, the covenant of forgiveness. But you can do it. And now I'm going to talk to you about a ministry. I'm going to call Randy up in just a minute, talk to you about a ministry that has this work of reconciliation, bringing children to their Heavenly Father. And having them see that their Heavenly Father is already ready for them. Echo Ranch Bible Camp. Lucas went last summer, his last week of his time with me, and I got to be there too. And I saw just wild fun and devoted hearts and this expression, a very rich and varied way of expressing God's heart to reconcile with us. So, Randy, if you'll come up and talk to us about Echo Ranch, it'll